Apologies, Honourable Members. We first want to apologize for eating into your time. Our apologies, it's issues and conditions beyond our control. We will, because I don't think we really need, not unless there are new people within yourselves that need to be introduced. Otherwise, we are the same, we haven't changed at all. So if they are, because I'm trying to manage time. So you will do everything, your apologies and whatever. I hope honorable members are comfortable with that. Okay. We'll hand over to your acting CEO and then we'll take us from there if there are any introductions that are needed. If there are no introductions, we'll go into apologies and straight to your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and a good day, honorable members. Apologies is from Professor Mazwai, the chairperson of the board. He is not feeling well, and there are new members of the board which I would like themselves to introduce themselves to the board. I'll now ask on my left hand side is Me Otremontsiwa, the deputy chairperson of the board.
My name is Waizo Otremontsiwa. I'm the deputy chair for the board, also a committee subcommittee member of CEC and of HR. And we have, we'll introduce ourselves.
Good afternoon, ladies, honourable members of Parliament. I'm Ethel Winstellenberg. I'm also a board member, and I also serve on the CEC committee and HR committee.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Olehile Maurice Bada Parasi, but simply known as Bada, and I'm a board member of OHSC. Thank you.
Good day, honourable members. My name is Julius Mapata. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good day, honourable members. My name is Makwedi Makhoba Madisa. I'm the Acting Director, Strategy, Governance and Board Secretariat. Thank you.
All right. You can.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will go straight to the presentation as requested. We did send the two documents to the Secretariat, which we are going to be presenting today. It's the strategic plan and the APP for the financial year. That's the outline of my presentation. I have combined the strategic plan and the APP, but we had to present the strategic plan again because we made some changes on the strategic plan. So it was retabled when the minister was tabling the strategic plan. The mandate of the office still remains the same. There were no changes, which is to monitor and protect and enforce compliance and to ensure investigation and disposal of complaints. And the mission and vision of the office still remains the same. This part that I'm referring to now is part A of the strategic plan. And also the values, we have not made any changes on that. They're still the same values from the previous strategic plan that was tabled to this house. The legislative mandate informing the strategic plan, there were no changes made on the strategic plan that was retabled by the ministry, so it remains the same. And also the constitutional mandate. So I would ask Honourable Chair if you would allow me to pass or skip those slides where there were no changes. But I will highlight to the members that there are no changes done on that. It's still part A of the strategic plan document. Again, I'll go up to the slide number 10, which is the situation analysis, where there are minor changes that have been done on the strategic plan. The first strategic plan was tabled 2015, and after that, there were needs that have arisen that led to the board retabling the strategic plan. But the changes were on the new indicators. It's where I have highlighted in red. They were on the new indicators, especially in the area of corporate service, which has been reallocated under administration program. So the changes that are on this strategic plan, the past strategic plan had 5 programs. With this new strategic plan, they have been reduced to 4. We had the Office of the CEO as a program. We had corporate services as a program. So what we have done is to combine the Office of the CEO and the corporate service to one program, which is administration. So that is the change that is here on the strategic plan. So we've got one program, which is administration, which combines the Office of the CEO and the corporate services. And it led to the changes also on the APP, because some of the indicators had to be moved and there were new indicators that were introduced. And secondly, the changes that have been introduced here is on program 2 of inspectorate, which I would explain. But what led to us making these changes was that it was the audit performance of the previous year and the challenges that was experienced by management in the implementation of the first APP, and the inclusion of the private sector hospitals and clinics, which have led to some of the changes in the strategic plan. And again, the existence of the systems and processes, they've also led to the office making some of the changes. And also the availability of personnel. In the past, when we started OHSC, it was only few staff members that were there in the office. So with more recruitment and availability of personnel and the office taking its shape, it led to us to make changes on the strategic plan and the APP. There were no significant changes to the legislative and other mandates of the Office of Health Standard Compliance. They still remained as they were from the previous strategic plan. So this slide number 13 explained those, but there were no changes at all. And the quality of change is part of the part A on the strategic plan, which the slide focuses on the concerns that were confirmed by the results of the national audit of all public sector health facilities, which were conducted 2011-2012 to date, showing very low level of compliance with standards in the 6 identified priority areas or basic critical requirement. There were other identified health sector organization problem, which included the unacceptable poor quality and safe healthcare services, the high levels of inequality in per capita health expenditure, and the public health system with poor outcomes or returns on investment in the context of under-resourced, fragmented health service, poor leadership, and fragmented health information management system, and increasing public discontent and frustration with the health system based on their experience. So they also contributed to the changes. And some of the changes we brought because we used the mock inspection findings, which the office has been conducting since 2011. However, these are just the summary of the mock inspection results, which contributed to the changes in the strategic plan. This is still the historic evaluation of the OHSC. There were no changes made on this. It's still as it was from the previous strategic plan, which is slide 17. And slide 18 is the summary of slide 17. It's there on the strategic plan as part of part A. There were strategies that were adopted by the board of the office during its first year in operation, which are designed to achieve the legislative mandate and strategic goals, and it has set for the entire entity. I will take the honorable members on those strategies that the board have adopted. And those strategies are to prioritize those establishments that are the weakest and serve the most disadvantaged users, to use a progressive and developmental approach to enforcement in order to enhance the change at different level of the health system. This cuts across to both public and private. To use the power of information and communication, ranging from awareness, guidance, through monitoring and analysis of reporting, and also to create an effective user platform for interaction with key users that provide and leadership groups to foster collaborative efforts towards improved outcomes. And again, it is to develop the capacity of staff and those who work directly with the office. It's to develop the capacity of all those who work directly with the office to make sure that change through training, rigorous control of the quality of outputs and outgoing learning. The regulatory response still remains the same. There were no changes that have been really made on the old strategic plan. Again, the regulatory practices and risk mitigation, the board did look into the regulatory good practices and risk mitigation, and there were no significant changes that were made. All of these are on the strategic plan, which is part A of the strategic plan. There were minor changes that were made on the staff establishment, but let me just apologize. There's a dotted line from the ombud to the office. It didn't come out clearly here. The changes that have been made, the certification and enforcement in the previous structure, it was falling directly under the office of the CEO. However, with these changes, it was moved to inspectorate unit. Inspectorate unit is now known as compliance inspection, certification and enforcement unit. So it was all moved to one unit. Whereas with the past strategic plan, the certification was not part of the inspectorate unit that does the inspection. And corporate services and CEO's office, it's now one program. I have already indicated that. And the complaints management, it also incorporates the ombudsman, because that is where the complaint system is dealt with. So it's only four programs that are now with the new. I'll go straight to Part B. Part B, we still have got four strategic outcome-oriented goals for OHSC. You get these strategic outcome goals on the APP and on the strategic plan. Goal number one, the changes that we have done here, we've moved some of the goal. Goal number one was goal number four in the past, but we've moved it to goal number one, which talks about publicly demonstrate responsiveness and accountability as an effective and efficient high-performance organization. And I will also reflect to the honorable members, there are APPs that are attached to each goal when we go down. And the indicator under goal one to demonstrate this, it's Auditor General's annual finding rating. Goal number two, it's inspect health establishment for compliance with quality norms and standard. And the indicator there, it's number and percentage of health establishments certified as compliant with quality standards. The goal number three, it's patient and community complaints regarding poor care and situation of concerns are investigated and responded to. And the indicator there, it's number and percentage of user and community complaints investigated and responded to within 6 months. Goal number four, it's progressively improve the quality and safety of healthcare through effective communication and collaboration with the users, providers, and other stakeholders. The indicator there is number of public awareness and initiative that will be executed by the office. So those are the four goals that are on the strategic plan and which informs other APP indicators that I would highlight as I present to the honorable members. I will start with program one, that is administration. It's a new program. In the past, it was split into the office of the CEO, like I've indicated, and corporate. It's now one program, which is administration. The purpose of this program is to provide leadership and administrative support necessary for the office to deliver its mandate and comply with relevant legislative requirements. Under this program one, we've got the strategic objective one, which is to establish a fully functional office suitably staffed to execute the mandate and goals of the office. And the target for the strategic plan target, it's 90%. But when I go to the APP, I will demonstrate to the member how it has split throughout the years. But the 90% is the strategic plan target, for which is for until 2019. The second strategic objective under this program is accredit inspectors after successful completing approved training course. The strategic target for the strategic plan is 100%. This is a new indicator that has been brought under administration. It used to fall under the technical units, but we've brought it under administration because human resources is part of the administration. And then the strategic objective number three is to implement good governance oversight and accountability through appropriate delegations, including financial management and compliance with PFMA. And the target there, the strategic plan target, is unqualified audit report. Still within the same program of administration, another strategic objective is to leverage the information technology to meet the needs of the office and to deliver the services more efficiently. So the indicator there is the percentage of IT system uptime, and the strategic plan target there is 95%. Another one is create public provider and stakeholder awareness about the roles and powers of the office. The indicator there is the number of media and communication events and campaigns that will be conducted annually. The target for the strategic plan on this one is 18, but I will demonstrate on the APP what is the target for the financial year and what is it that we will be delivering each quarter. And the other strategic objective there is to support the mandate and objectives of the office through the memorandum of understanding with relevant regulators or other organizations. The indicator there is the number of MOUs that we will be signing annually with regulators or other organizations to protect and promote healthcare quality and safety. The strategic plan target is 10. That we have planned for the strategic plan. I will go to resource consideration for the strategic plan under this program, which is administration. That is slide number 30. We've put the table there according to the levels. And if you look into management and professionals, for 2016-17, it's 13 officials, 17, 18, it will remain 13 at management level, so there are no, there's no increase in the number of the management in that unit. The employees which are level 10 and below, that is where there will be an increase on the outer years, For 16-17 it was 13, but for 17-18 it will go to 16, and for the remaining time of the strategic plan it will remain with 16. So what we have brought here, which is new, it's the number of intents. We've brought this because of the recommendation that was made here in the portfolio committee that we also have to contribute in building the youth that is qualified and is not working, and it's new. We have brought here our intent was that we will get for 16-17 three intents. The only limiting factor here, you can see the outer years, the number is adding up. Why three this year? It's because we have to move out of the space where we are currently at the Medical Research Council. So the space is limited there. Soon as we move to a bigger office space, we will be increasing on the number. And the interns are placed within corporate, especially within the administration program, because in that in administration, there's human resource, there's finance, there are a lot of programs that are within that administration program. These eight only pertains to program on administration. Honorable members will take note that when I present other programs, there will be also interns in other programs. So these numbers only relate to the staff within that particular program, which is administration. This is the risk management that has been done under the program. Let me apologize for the for the writing, but there weren't much changes that have been brought on the risk management, except that we took into consideration the Auditor General's findings during the last financial year when we were reviewing the risk management. Now I will be going to the APP, still within the same program, that is Program 1 on Administration. The APP for 2017-2018, within the same program, we've got an indicator that speaks on the percentage of funded staff appointed. I've indicated earlier to the honorable members that the strategic plan target is 90%. However, with this indicator for 15-16, it was 60%. 16-17, it was 80%. 17-18, it's 90%. So that is where we add more staff. The Auditor General annual finding rating, I've also indicated that from the strategic plan, we've said it must be unqualified audit, and we are planning for unqualified throughout the strategic plan period. There's a new indicator that we have brought under Program 1, which is the Program on Administration, is the percentage of compliance inspectors accredited. It's a new indicator that we have brought 16-17, and we are planning for 17-18 to have at least 80% of the inspectors that have been trained. 18-19 it will be 85%, and 19-20 it will be 100%. Currently, this training is conducted internally within the office. We've tried in the past to outsource it, but we've found that there weren't institutions that were providing this type of training, because the office is the first office of its kind in the country, and most of the institutions didn't have this training, and the inspectors went to UK to go and benchmark the work of the inspectorate and so on. So we are still doing it internally currently, but we because the legislation is forcing us to have all the inspectors accredited within the office. So the percentage of IT system uptime, the strategic plan target is 95%. The new indicator for 15-16 was a new indicator. For 16-17, we've planned 80%. 17-18, 90%. 18-19, 95%. 19-20, it's 25%. Again, on this indicator, the number of media and communication events and campaigns conducted annually. It's 18. For 15-16 it was 4. 16-17 is 4. 17-18 we are going to increase them to 6, hoping that the norms and standard regulations will be promulgated. We will have to do more of the communication event and campaigns to make the communities aware of the office and the standards. And the other years we've planned for 6 until the end of the strategic plan time. The memorandum of understanding that we plan to sign with other regulators for the strategic plan is 10, 15, 16 it was 2. We are planning to sign 2 each year. But we have already started signing some of these MOA with HPCSA and other regulators. Program 2, the compliance inspectorate, it's now, in the past, it was compliance inspectorate only. It's now compliance inspectorate certification and enforcement, which is program 2. The purpose of the program is to manage the inspections of health establishments in order to assess compliance with national health system norms and standards as prescribed by the Minister of Health, or certify health establishment as compliant or non-compliant with prescribed norms and standards, and take enforcement actions against non-compliant health establishments. Again, from the strategic plan, the strategic objective is to inspect regulated public and private health establishment for compliance with prescribed norms and standards at least every 4 years. And the target for 18 to 20 is 30, and for 14-15 it was 10, for 15 to 20 is 2, but I'll explain the numbers when I go to the table. But there is a new indicator that we have added here, the percentage and number of private sector clinics, CHCs, hospital inspected annually by the OHSC. Honourable members will note that in the past it was only the one speaking to the number and percentage of public sector. We have now brought the private sector indicator to this APP and the strategic plan. The strategic objective 2 is to certify health establishments that are compliant with prescribed norms and standards. And the indicator here is percentage of compliant establishments certified within 60 days after the final inspection report, and the target is 100%. If it's within 60 days, all the health establishment will be certified. This is new in this program because enforcement was not part of this program. This strategic objective that speaks to effect enforcement action against persistent non-compliant health establishment. We are planning that the indicator is percentage of persistent non-compliant health establishment for which enforcement action is initiated within 10 days from date of receipt of inspection or EWS report. When we say persistent non-compliant, the health establishment will be inspected for the first time. They will be given an opportunity to go and fix whatever has been identified. The inspectors will go back and re-inspect again. Now, to see if there is a progress, are they really implementing what has been recommended, and are they trying to address the gap? If still nothing is being done, then it becomes persistent and non-compliant. It will go to enforcement action. So we are not going to, we are not planning to enforce immediately after post-inspection. We will give the health establishment an opportunity to fix whatever that has been identified. Then the inspectors will go back and re-inspect again. But failure to comply with those, then the enforcement action will kick in. The another strategic objective is effect enforcement action against persistent non-compliant health establishment. The indicator here is percentage of persistent non-compliant health establishment for which enforcement action is initiated within 10 days. The plan is that within 10 days, when we pick the issues of non-compliant, the enforcement actions will be taken, and the target here is 100%. All those facilities that are not complying, within 10 days, the enforcement action will be taken. So it's 100% of all those facilities. The resource consideration within Program 2 of Inspectorate, can see that the numbers are growing 17, 18 to 16 for the management and professionals, and for employees level 10 and below, the numbers are 42, 43, they would grow to 47, the numbers will increase, but this is where in the unit of inspectorate we will need more resources. These numbers are based on what Treasury said they can give us as money. If Treasury could give us more money, the numbers of human resource in this unit will be far more than this. There are numbers that I have not put here. There are numbers that we are working on to assist the office to check how many staff members we need to make sure that we inspect all the health establishment. But the current numbers are based on the money that was given by Treasury. But I would like to highlight to the honorable members that this is the program where we would really like to increase these numbers far more than this. I will go to the performance plan within the same program. The number and percentage of public sector health establishment inspected annually. Again, these numbers are here are based on the available resources. In the past, you could see that for 16-17, we have planned 17%, which is about 649 of the 3,816 facilities. For 17-18, we are planning to increase that to 18%. For 18-19, we are planning to increase it to 19%. For 19-20, we are planning to increase this to 20%. But if we had enough staff, we would be doing, because we have to inspect 100% of facilities within 4 years, then we would be inspecting at least 25% of the facilities annually. So that's why I was saying to the honorable members, if there is more funding that can assist the office to recruit more inspectors to increase this percentage. Indicator number two, it's number and percentage of private sector health establishment inspected annually by the office. The strategic plan target is 30%. For 15-16, we didn't do any. It was a new indicator. For 16-17, the planning was 20% of the 369 private health facilities. This indicator speaks to the private hospitals and CHCs. For 17-18, honorable members, you could see that there was nothing that was planned for. However, it was because we were not sure when the norms and standard regulation will be promulgated. But for the APP, there was nothing that was planned for, but as soon as they get promulgated, we will also channel resource to this indicator. But for the outer years, the number of private health sector would also increase. The procedures for certification process developed, it's an indicator that has been there in the past, so those procedures have been developed. The percentage of compliant health establishments certified by the office within 60 days, we are planning to certify all those health establishment every year. It's 100% every year. The procedures for timely enforcement actions developed, the plan for 17-18 is to finalize those enforcement procedures. And the other indicator here is percentage of persistent non-compliant health establishments for which enforcement action is initiated within 10 days. The target here is 100%, that all of those will be 100%. However, I would also like to bring to the attention of the honorable members that would see that for 17-18, there was nothing planned. Again, the discussions with the previous board was that this indicator really relies solely on the promulgation of the regulation, because they were not aware when the regulations would be promulgated. The decision was taken was not to plan anything for the APP, but as soon as this is promulgated, even before the end of the financial year, we'll have to deliver on this. It's part of the APP. The number of reports on inspections conducted, remedial recommendations issued, and compliance status of health establishment. For the strategic plan target, we are planning to have 5, that is for the strategic plan, but the plan is that the office will issue the inspection report once a year, a consolidated report that will be focusing on the findings, the recommendation, and the status of health establishments for both public and private health sector. Program 3 is the program on the health ombud. The purpose is to consider, investigate, and dispose of complaints relating to non-compliance with prescribed norms and standards. Under this program, the strategic objectives from the strategic plan is to create an accessible mechanism to lodge complaints within the office. The target here was to have a functional call center. This has been there on the previous strategic plan. And then strategic objective number 2 is to investigate and respond to complaints or concerns about non-compliance with norms and standards. Again, the indicator here is percentage of complaints lodged with the office investigated and responded to within 6 months, depending really on the complexity of the complaint or investigation that the ombud is dealing with. Another one is issue findings and recommendations about complaints of non-compliance with prescribed norms and standards. This is a new indicator that we have brought, and the indicator here is the percentage of investigations finalized by the ombuds within 6 months from the lodgement date. Another strategic objective is to issue findings and recommendations about complaints of non-compliance with prescribed norms and standards within 6 months. The indicator there is percentage of investigations finalized by the ombud within 6 months from the lodgement date. I would also like to bring to the honorable members, you would note that within the ombud, always the time frame is within 6 months. It's because of the time it takes to investigate those complaints that have been lodged to the ombuds and the resources that are needed to assist the ombudsman to come to a conclusion of the report. The resource consideration in this unit, again, honorable members, it's solely based on what Treasury gave us as part of the allocation. However, in deliberation with Professor Makgoba, there will be a need in this unit to expand this unit more to create more staff to assist with the investigations of complaints and so on. But the numbers that are here are based on what Treasury has given us in terms of the money. But in deliberation with the ombudsman, there will be a need to resource this unit and also to restructure the whole unit within the complaints unit. So we are currently busy doing the organizational study to identify how many posts will be needed, what is it that will be needed on the structure, and to cost it, to see how much it will cost. So the APP of the Ombudsman, it's the fully functional call center system for receiving complaints. It was the new indicator for 14-15. The plan was to have the call center functional 15-16. However, it was not met. And for 16-17, that is where we had the call center functional. You can see the outer years. There is nothing there because the main indicator here was to have that call center functioning, which we are hoping that is going to function throughout. The procedures for receiving and managing complaints that are developed, for 15-16 it was the procedures that are in place, and for 16-17 the procedures in place. So the procedures are in place. You could see also the outer years. This, we are hoping these two indicators, we have already, the work has already been done on these ones. The percentage of complaints lodged within the office, investigated and responded to within 6 months. Again, for 16-17 it was 60%, 17-18 70%, 18-19 80%, 19-20 85%. Again, the percentage were merely based on the available resources from what the Treasury has funded the office. But if more resources are channeled to this program, these percentages will have to change. The systems and procedures for investigations of complaints set up. So this also has been set up, and we could see through the outer years that the systems will be set up unless if there are minor changes that would really have to be done to be in line with the practices. The percentage of investigation finalized within 6 months by the Ombuds, it was the new indicator for 15-16, 16-17, it was 60%, outer years, the percentage also increased. The procedures for communication and monitoring of Ombuds recommendation, the systems are in place and the procedures have been developed. The percentage of Ombuds recommendations monitored for implementation by the health establishment within 6 months, again, the 60%, 70%, it increased on the outer years. I will go to program 4, which is a health standards design and analysis. The purpose of this program is to provide high-level technical, analytical, and educational support to the mandate of the office in relation to research, development, and analysis of norms and standards, and support capacity building and establishment of communication network with stakeholders. Again, with this program, the strategic objective is to, for all health establishment obliged or regulated by the prescribed norms and standards, to submit annual returns before the end of March each year for the purpose of monitoring and inspections. The indicator here is the percentage of annual returns analyzed within 60 days to determine the profile of health establishment. So it's a new indicator. And the targets are there. I will explain when I go to the APP how this indicator would work. And the strategic objective number 2 here is to recommend norms and standards for different type of health establishments for submission to the Minister for Promulgation. The indicator here is number of norms and standards recommended to the Ministry annually. The plan is that every year the office would work on the norms and standards of different health establishment which would be recommended to the minister, because the current norms and standard are norms and standard for the health establishment, the fixed one. We are currently working on the norms and standard for private practitioners, your GPs, your specialists. So over the years, we'll introduce more and more norms and standard to cover the entire health system. Another strategic objective here is to provide guidance on compliance with norms and standard for regulation for regulated health establishment. The indicator here is number of relevant authorities responsible for support to health establishment that have received guidance. The plan here is that because we would have been part of the development of the standard, we don't want to hand over those standards to the health establishment. Again, is to train those health establishment about those standards so that they understand them, how those standards must be implemented. So it's part of what this strategic objective is explaining. And another strategic objective on this program is monitor early warning reports of situation of potential risk from health establishment. And the indicator here is the percentage of health establishments identified as high risk that are referred to the appropriate division within the office. This is part of the monitoring system that we are busy developing within the office to continuously monitor the health establishment, irrespective of whether it has been inspected or not. But we are creating, it's a surveillance system that this indicator is focusing on. The resource considerations there, you can see the professionals over the years, it's 9. The employees level 10 and below, it's 2, 3, 3, 3. It's because of the skills that are needed within this program, because it needs individuals who are more skilled. That is why it looks as if it says management stroke professional within that unit. It's more than the employees. It's because of the skills that is needed here. We need epidemiologists, we need statisticians, and so on. So that is why the staff complement of management or professionals, it looks more than the employees below. It's really based on the type of skills that are needed within that unit. I'll go to the APP for 17-18 within this program. The system for submission of annual returns by the health establishment, we are planning to make sure that the system has been finalized, because this must be done annually. The percentage of annual returns analyzed within 60 days to determine the profile of health establishment. The plan is that all the health establishment will submit their annual returns within 60 to the office by the end of March, and within 60 days the office must have analyzed all those annual returns. The number of norms and standards recommended to the Ministry of Health, the strategic plan target is 3. For 16-17, it was the norms and standards for health establishments, and for 17-18, there's also a plan to recommend one set of norms, and the outer years also a plan to recommend one set of norms. Another indicator is the number of relevant authorities responsible for supporting health establishments that have received guidance for compliance with norms and standards. The numbers here for the strategic plan target, it was 14. For 16-17, 17-18, the numbers increase because the more norms and standards are introduced, there will be more relevant authorities. Currently, the relevant authorities, because of the norms and standards, it will be the provinces which are supporting the public health establishment. But as soon as the regulations have been promulgated, the private hospital groups, they also will be forming part of the relevant authorities, where we would also be providing support. fully functional surveillance system that report on potential risk to compliance. We're still working on the system, and for 17-18 we will be finalizing the system, and the system will be functional before the end of the financial year, and it will be maintained through the outer years. Another indicator is the percentage of health establishments identified as high risk that are referred to the appropriate unit within the office for action to be taken, because the surveillance will be done in this unit. If they pick that there is a health establishment that is posing the risk, they will immediately escalate it either to the health ombuds or to the inspectors to go and inspect those type of health establishment. I will now ask the CFO to take us through the expenditure for all these programs.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. I'll briefly take the members through the budget over the MTF period, starting from slide number 60. From that slide, we can see that the budget allocated to the OHSC for 2017-18 is 125 million, which is 25%, which is a 25% increase on the previous budget, which was 2016-17. And in 2018-19, it's 133 million, which is a 5% increase on 2017-18. And 2019-20 is 140 million, which is a 5% increase, just above 5% increase on 2018-19. And that slide, the second slide, indicates the details of the budget. Because of the nature of the entity that the OHSC is, reliance is placed on personnel, hence the personnel cost forms the larger portion of the expenditure. And now, in terms, on the same slide, there's an amount there of 12.9 million related to travel subsistence and accommodation. That amount is largely for the inspectors who are expected to travel throughout the country and also for conducting investigations. So 90% of that amount is for inspections and investigations. And also there's an amount there for consulting and professional services of about 3 million. That amount relates to largely four main issues. One is the professional translation of our documents into 11 languages so that they can also reach the deep rural areas in the rural areas, so that these documents, norms and standards, etc., are available in local languages. And the second aspect of that is the drafting of the norms and standards. We might have seen in the on the previous slide that there is the requirement to develop norms and standards when, every year. So from time to time, we need additional technical input in terms of actuarial sciences, among some of them, in the tools and measurements. And the third area for consulting is in terms of the investigations, where we've seen from the previous investigation that there was also a requirement for an expert panel, outside expert panel, to assist the Ombud in terms of the investigation. So I've made provision for that aspect. And then the other element there is the issue of lease payments, which is 12.2 million. We've made provision for office space, which the OHSC will require. I think members probably saw the office space last time when they were there. And we've also made provision for 1.5 million audit costs. It's internal, both internal audit and the AG. So I thought I might just explain those high ticket items on the budget. And I'll go to slide number 63. In terms of the overall budget allocation, 60%, at least 60% of the budget is allocated to the core operations. Core operations is inspections, certification, investigation, standards development, so and including the Ombud. So those are the core operations. So a large portion of the budget is allocated to those functions. And in terms of the economic classification, 63% of the budget is for compensation of employees, as I've indicated. and with board costs making up 1% of the budget throughout that MTF period. And in terms of personnel numbers, the largest division that has got numbers is the inspectorate, which has got 63. Over the MTF period, the total staff complement is 121, which is just 13 employees more than the current, which we have, which is 108. So the biggest division is the inspectorate at 63. And in terms of the, that is the same, that is 53 on slide 66, which is 52% of the staff is in the inspectorate. And in terms of the overall allocation of staff number, 70%, at least 70, which is 76, 76% of the staff are in the core operations, inspections, investigations, standards development, with 24% in admin and support. And those were the key considerations that we took into account in designing the current budget. And that is the last slide. And thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Acting CEO and CFO. What we will do, we will take questions, and then after taking questions, you'll then break for lunch, and then we'll come back, allow you to respond on those questions. I hope honourable members are fine with that. Can we get questions first, Honorable Ndaba, Honorable James, Honorable Maisel, and Mahlalela in that order?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation. In 2016-17, Chairperson, there was an amount of 922 that was allocated for traveling, subsistence, and accommodation. But for 2017-18, that amount has declined, and there's an allocation of 604,000 allocated. And I'm not sure, Chair, what are the contributing factors that made the decline of the allocation? Because when they were presenting, they have intentions of employing more staff. And I'm just thinking, if they are going to hire more inspectors and other categories that they want to employ, for inspectors to go to facilities, they need to travel, and in some instances they're left to sleep in those areas, especially if you are not residing in that province, and maybe even the work that you are going to do is a lot. And I'm wondering if there is so much huge difference in terms of allocation, how are they going to cope and ensure that there is effectiveness, and efficiency in terms of inspectors executing their job? Because, Chairperson, if you are taking this situation practically, you know for the fact that we have done oversight in other provinces, and we have seen the high rate of non-compliance in facilities, and the complaints that are being raised by our people outside there. And I'm just also wondering, Chair, if whether they do have intentions of having outreach programs, because they have a complaints division, or part of their mandate is to address the complaints that are raised by our communities, and they must also do follow-ups. You know, I'm just wondering and asking myself all these questions, if whether the amount that they have budgeted for, they've allocated in this section, Chairperson, is it adequate or not? Aren't they going to experience problems? And I'm sure also, Chair, they must respond whether they do have intention of having outreach programs to our communities in terms of awareness, reaching out even to people in the rural areas. You know, this thing of saying you do address complaints from patients or so on, or to the community. Mina, to me, if you want to address it holistically, you must tell me about people who are residing in the rural areas. What is happening? Especially in the places where, you know, a facility is small and there is shortage of staff, the way the staff members are putting things there, they are not putting them correctly. I'm just thinking, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
James? Sir, Honourable James.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation. Well articulated, we could find numbers instead of just giving us percentages. Without the numbers, and you sit down and think, what 60%, what that number is, I must welcome you for that. Thank you for that first. And I think also, I think we need to, as a committee, thank you for listening to the committee by making sure that you incorporate our graduates, that are unemployed graduates that are sitting there, and giving them an opportunity to learn and to be employed and be respected again in their communities. I think that's a good one, and I hope, I can't remember the honourable member that always raised that is now in the, I think in the first have gone back to province, but he actually always is always just in every presentation. That is the first. The second one. Are there time frames for the promulgation of the norms and standards by the minister? Is there time? How long is it going to drag on? Probably by 2019, when we're campaigning to come back again. How long is that going to take? And since the launch of the OHSC, how many complaints have you received and how many have you resolved? Also, I'm very much covered by Honourable Ndaba with selling this, you know, marketing this entity, making sure that people know that they don't just sit there and wonder, where do I report? Because we all know that those boxes that are in the facilities, you know, no, God knows if they really reach your office, but if there's a direct link from the community to the office, I think that would be the best, so that the community knows that they can get, you know, justice from through your office. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Maise.
Thank you, Chair. Who would like to know what is the nature of the increasing public discontent and frustration with the health system based on their experience? You just said there is a lot of discontent among the people about the health system based on their experiences. We would like to know what this discontent is and what the experiences are, because we had some statistics pointing out to some discontentment big time in some other areas. So if we could know what it is about, when we do follow up, we can actually zoom on to those things and compare. Yeah, almost one-to-one management to employer below level 10, yeah, or 11, below 11, 10. No, the your organogram, you've got about 13 managers and 16 employees. It looks like every guy is managing one employee down there. I don't know, maybe it's a special, all of you are specialist type of relation, this one. It doesn't, I don't know, maybe when you explain, it may make sense to me. page 57, there's no difference between those two paragraphs. They are exactly the same. Now, I wonder whether it was just a copy of the other one or something was wrong somewhere, because they are exactly the same. Now, operating the list for premises in 2016-17 was allocated 1.2 million and is projected to be 11.6 million in the following year, 2017-28. Was the OHSC considering purchasing its own premises rather than renting as an option? I think if you pay this type of rent from 1 million to 16 million, you must sue them for rentiering. This is highway robbery. They can't, nobody is allowed to charge a rent like that. I mean, you cannot refuse to pay them while you are looking for another. Did they give you a good, what you call it, time to say that by this year we will have increased our rent by this amount? 1 year is not enough for you to look for another alternative premises. So this maybe when you explain it may make sense to me. But for now, from 1 million to 16 million, it doesn't make sense at all. Now, there is relocation expenses in 2016-2017 allocated 250,000, and about 800,000 is allocated to this item in 2017-2018. What does this allocation mean? Does it mean that the OHSC is planning to relocate to a new premises in this current financial year? Maybe because of this high rent, this is to hire some people to move your furniture to the new building. Thanks. I think that's all. Thank
you. Honorable Mashele.
No, thanks. Just quickly to go back to the issue that I've been raising last year and last of last year. The annualization of your targets. I am not sure whether there are board members here. And if there are, how do you monitor annualized targets as performance at targets as a board, if really according to the APP the delivery is an annual delivery? And then does it mean that you as a board you wait until the end of the year because you could play your role, because most of the targets here are annual targets? That's because out of 17 targets, 11 are annual targets, and so only 6 that are quarterly target. How then as a board do you play your role in terms of making sure that you track performance of these indicators either on a monthly or quarterly basis? Because there's no indication what is going to be done in the first, those that are annual. What is to be done in the first term, in the second term, the third term, and the last term? Quarter. It's just empty, dash throughout. So if you want them to account and track performance, how do you do it? Because there's nothing that tells you at this quarter this is how they should have performed. I just want to understand that. And if we as a portfolio committee want to track you as an entity on a quarterly basis, how do you arrive at tracking you, monitoring you, playing our oversight responsibility, and understand how are you performing if there are no indications as to what is it that per quarter you are expected to achieve?
I just want to add that understanding. And then I'm not sure whether you had it correct. If I heard it correct, you're saying you want to target about 25 institutions, health institutions per annum for investigations and all those matters. What does that 25 represent? And does that include the health establishments that are under local government as well? Because they are also public health institutions. They are not private. And then, so that at least we've got a picture per annum, what is it that we'll be expecting you when you come back to say we've done so many investigations, the number of health facilities or establishment will be in line with that 25%. Because we don't know, 25% is 25% of what? And then in line with what Honorable James has raised around the complaint, the call center that you've established, per annum, what is the average that you receive? Because you're saying per annum you want to resolve 70%. And so we want to understand as to what does that 70% in practice represent? Because it's just a percent. And is it possible at some point to disintegrate these complaints into provinces so that we're able to understand where the highest complaints are coming from? I see that you've concluded the complaint system is it possible just to briefly explain to some of us, because I remember there were people that I gave them your center number and they were being pulled from pillar to post till today, that matter. They don't know what they must do. And when then they come back to me and I can't even assist them, because I am not sure what, if somebody has a complaint and called the call center, what is the procedure and what is the process? So that at least when we go to communities, at least we get empowered and explain to them how the system works ourselves as well. Because there seems to be no proper understanding when we call. They seem not to be properly explained. Because the one that called me, I referred them to you. Then they were turned back and said, no, go back to the institution. And the institution that has failed to take care to take their complaint. And they're told, go back there. And they've started there in any way. And they could not get joy from the institution. That's why they had to find out what is the next step. And when we directed them step, and when they called, they said, no, go back. Just want to understand that how the system works. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. I see in your budget you have budgeted for consultancy and professional work. I would like to understand what in terms of consult, you are using consultants in some areas. Can we be explained so that we really have to understand. I'm raising this because we are trying to discourage the usage of consultants, because moving forward in time they take the chunk of the wise, because of capacity problems within the institution or so. That's where the question is. outside this, in institutions, I would imagine where you are making to conduct inspections, you'll find that there are containers which are returning. Would comment the board for comfort for suggestion or tell. Do you open those? And if you open those, you obviously would have. Do you make follow ups on those? Because I'm often understanding that they fall apart. And the last question, which I will always raise, is that I always find it difficult to get the balance. My observation is that complaints are more, those that are listened to are those of people that are serviced by the health sector. But those that are servicing, remember, health workers, do you have a process of collating and listening to them? I will consistently raise this. Remember, in Durban, in the commission, I raise it, that I am finding that there's a gap. Where do health workers go when they have got a challenge? If then you are this institution, obviously those that are servicing and those that are serviced, we should then strike that balance so that we are able to really address the challenges in the all levels and categories, both in the administration and the clinical side of the center, both public and private. I'm raising this because there's this perception and assumption that things are glossy in the private sector, and they're not. I'm raising it because the unfortunate part, we will have to visit them, either a relative or one is a patient, and you really see. So I'm of the understanding that you are that entity, you are the, one of the entities that really are to assist in saying why. So my question is that balance is based on that. We will break for lunch. Unfortunately, we'll have to be here at 2 o'clock sharp. So lunch is served outside, and you are invited to join us. Thank you very much. When we come back, you will then respond to our questions and clarities. Thank you. Lunch is served on the